In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Happy Easter to all of you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Happy Easter, Feliz Pascua to all of you. And, of course, we'd like to start off our conversation inviting Mary to be with us. Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. So we'll say the Hail Mary. And now we're in what is called the Easter season. And we pray or sing the Regina Caeli, which replaces the Angelus during this holy season of Easter. So let's place our Easter season, our Easter joy, in the hands and heart of Mary, as we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, we want to invite to be with us our spiritual director. And our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit, who we're going to be encountering many times as we read and meditate upon the Acts of the Apostles. Now I'm going to be giving a course on the Acts of the Apostles in the month of May. I invite you to come along with me to learn more about this wonderful book that follows the Gospel of St. John. So our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. He is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is also known as our Sanctifier. Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as our Consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as our Interior Master. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and pray to Him. And St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light, a lot of love, and an overflowing joy in our lives, as we say. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Mary Magdalene, pray for us. Saint Peter and the Apostles, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once again, I'd like to wish all of you a happy Easter to all of you and your family members. Happy Easter, Felices Pascua, as we say in Spanish. So, my friends, we welcome you to our Perseverance family, and after we pray together, because the family that prays together stays together, Father Patrick Peyton, then I like to offer my special prayer intentions for all of you. So today in the Easter Mass that I'll be celebrating, I'd like to place all of you on the altar. I'd like to place all of you on the altar in the greatest of all prayers. The greatest of all prayers, my friends, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's right. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. Holy sacrifice of the Mass is by far the greatest of all prayers. So I'd like to place you on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and offer these specific intentions for you. Number one, I'd like to pray for all of you who have gone through this Easter, this Lenten journey, the journey of Holy Week, and now you arrive at Easter. I'd like to pray for all of you for the grace that Saint Ignatius of Loyola says we should be begging for when we meditate upon the scenes of the resurrection of Christ. If you make a month retreat, it would be the fourth week. And this would be in Spanish, we say, intensísimo gozo. In English, the superlative, the most intense joy. Pray that all of you would have the most intense joy today, this Easter week, as well as this Easter season. The image I gave yesterday when I was giving my talk in my 10-week spiritual exercise program would be, we're not asking for a little joy, like a little thimble or a little cup. We're asking for the joy which would be as immense as the ocean. The oceans, the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian, the Arctic Ocean. May we be inundated by joy. But keenly aware of the fact, my friends, that joy is an interior disposition more than exterior. Even though it's expressed sometimes by exterior manifestations, but the interior presence of the Holy Spirit within our souls. So we want to be begging for joy. I'll beg for joy. And joy is related to, as we said, our relationship with God. St. Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. It's interesting, he says rejoice, but he says in the Lord. And he says it two times. Mary teaches us the same thing. Our Lady teaches us the same thing. in that Mary, in her Magnificat, proclaims, she says, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And during this Easter time, the antiphon is, we say over and over again, this is the day the Lord has made, let us be glad and rejoice in it. This is the day the Lord has made, let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. After having abstained from singing out alleluia for 40 days, now we break into a joyous acclamation of alleluia, praise Yahweh, for the next 50 days. So that's my first intention I'd like to pray, that all of you would experience an immense joy, just a really immense joy, that your joy would be an overflowing joy, and a joy that you'd also be sharing with many other people, because our faith and our joy is meant to be contagious. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. You know, I'd like to pray then, of course, for your family members. I'd like to pray from your family members that they would experience the joy of the Lord also. And this joy of the Lord, to pray that many of your family members who maybe have walked away from God, that they would return to God. On this Easter day, as well as the Easter day, which actually lasts 8 days, up until next Sunday. Next Sunday, we actually celebrate the solemnity of Divine Mercy. And my last intention would be, I'd like to pray for world peace, especially in the Ukraine. That the Ukraine that was consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary by Pope Francis on March 25th, which happened to be the Annunciation, that they would be able to possibly negotiate or with diplomacy to be able to find some peaceful solution so that innocent people would not die. So, my friends, I'd like to, before going into the readings for today, which are beautiful readings, I'd like to just give us an overall context of where we are liturgically. So I'd like to give you a panoramic vision of where we are now, liturgically. All right, the very beginning of March, March 2nd, we entered into the holy season of Lent. We entered the holy season of Lent, March 2nd, with Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday you received on your forehead, and the priest could have said one or two things. He could have said, repent and believe in the gospel, taken from Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Indicating that the season of Lent is a season of conversion. We're trying to be converted. Also, the priest could have said, remember that you're dust and you shall return to dust. That points out our mortality, that one day we're going to be called from this life to the next to be judged. So those are the two phrases that the priest can say as he imposes ashes on your forehead or upon your head. Now that word, repent and believe in the gospel, in Greek is metanoia, points to the fact that we are called to go through a deeper and deeper conversion. Father Thomas Dubé wrote that book, Deep Prayer, Deep Conversion. We arrive at a deeper conversion when we have a deeper prayer life. Deeper conversion by deeper prayer life. And in the season of Lent, Ash Wednesday, we have the gospel reading points out three ways that we can arrive at this conversion. And Father Al Hall gave us the tri-dimensional means by which we can arrive at that conversion. Go up, go in, go out. Go up, go in, go out. Go up to God through prayer. Go in through penance and fasting. Go out through almsgiving or charity. So we entered into the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday. And the priest wears a different color than ordinary time, which is the color, the green color. Priest wears purple. So Lent lasts about 40 days. The fourth Sunday of Lent, the priest actually can be wearing pink. Pink, which is pointing to what we celebrate today. That just in a matter of a few days that we will be celebrating the Paschal Mystery and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the key foundational moment in the life of Christ. It's what really gives meaning to our whole life, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, the greatest miracle of all. So the Lenten season moves on, and we arrive at what we arrived at last Sunday, which was the entrance into Holy Week with the celebration of Palm Sunday. Now, Palm Sunday recalls the day in which our Lord entered in triumphal procession into the city of Jerusalem, mounted on a donkey. And they placed their cloaks before him as well as the palm branches. And they proclaimed, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, King David, son of King David. They were claiming Jesus Christ to be the king. We know that 5 days later, some of these people would be crying out, also crucify him. So then we enter into Holy Week. In the very heart of Holy Week, my friends, is what is called the Easter Triduum. The Easter Triduum, actually means three. Easter Triduum means three. The 3 days leading up to Easter itself. These 3 days, which are of paramount importance, by that of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. A word on those, And we arrive at the solemn feast day, the solemnity of solemnity, which is Easter. All, it's kind of like a building up crescendo. We arrive at Easter Sunday, that Christ is truly risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Christ is truly risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Holy Thursday, my friends, and it's a good idea, St. Ignatius of Loyola, who we all know and love, we've done the exercises, he recommends that we do repetitions. Why a repetition? Repetition would be, we go and we repeat one of our past meditations where there is consolation, or sometimes even desolation. We go repeat it because there's still many graces that God has in that meditation for us. Many, many graces in that repetition, in that meditation that God has for us. St. Francis de Sales, Doctor of the Church, who wrote Introduction to the Devout Life, gives us an analogy from nature. And Francis de Sales goes on to point that a bee that's seeking for honey or nectar, he'll go and he'll fly over a flower that has nectar. He'll go in and he will suck out that nectar. But then he'll come back to it. Why does he come back to the same flower? Because he did not exhaust the honey that was already in that flower. So it is in our meditations. We can go back and revisit a meditation where God seemed to speak to us very eloquently. Because there's still more spiritual nectar, spiritual honey that God wants to give to us. That being the case, my friends, let's go back to the Easter Triduum, which arrives at Easter, La Pascua. Holy Thursday, my friends, can be summarized by what happened at the Last Supper. That's right. The Last Supper was such an important day that St. John the Evangelist has five chapters of what Jesus said at the Last Supper. It's called the Last Supper Discourse. From John 13 all the way up to John 17, we have the Last Supper Discourse of Christ. The Last Supper Discourse. But two of the great gifts that Christ gave to us at the Last Supper was the first Mass. You see, Jesus instituted, my friends, He instituted the sacrament of the Eucharist. So we should be eternally grateful for the fact that Jesus instituted the sacrament of the Eucharist, which is the sacrament of his body, blood, soul, and divinity. His body, blood, soul, and divinity. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's right. In the context of Holy Thursday, he took bread and said, take and eat, this is my body. And he said, take and drink, this is my blood. Then our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ also, he instituted another sacrament. Now these two sacraments are interrelated, one depending upon the other. That would be the sacrament of holy orders, yours truly. holy orders of the priesthood. And of course, if we do not have the priesthood, my friends, then we don't have confession and we don't have the Eucharist. So we should pray for more vocations to the priesthood. Our Lord says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest because the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest because the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. So we want to be praying that God would send more laborers, more priests to work in the vineyard. The harvest, my friends, is the harvest of the salvation of souls. Your soul, my soul, the soul of anyone is worth more than the whole universe. Jesus himself said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? What can we exchange for our own immortal soul? What can we exchange for our own immortal soul? So Holy Thursday. And one last thing I'd like to say about Holy Thursday, and then we'll move on to the other part of the Triduum. Is that Jesus, in the context of the Last Supper, he says to his apostles and he says to you and to me, he says, I call you friends. Because you know what the Master is about. Never forget my friends, because our Perseverance family is a family of friends in Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Never forget. Never forget that Jesus Christ is your best friend. He rose from the dead for you. Yes, he did. He rose from the dead for you because he wants you to be happy with him forever in heaven. That's right. He rose from the dead for you. He wants you to be happy with him forever in heaven. In eternal glory. And then Jesus also said, love one another as I have loved you. If we want to establish a deep friendship with Christ, and if we want to arrive one day at heaven, then we have to constantly strive to live out the last and the greatest commandment of Jesus Christ. And that commandment is, love one another as I have loved you. So friendship with Christ depends upon our loving him and loving our brothers and sisters. And St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, says, what is love? But love is willing the good of the other. That's right. Love is willing the good of the other. So Holy Thursday, Good Friday, so Holy Thursday, we focus upon the Last Supper in the upper room called the Cenacle. Whereas Good Friday, we focus more upon the cross. We focus on the cross. Jesus hanging on the cross. Now, I've emphasized time and time again in conjunction with the program of the spiritual exercises, in conjunction with the plan of the spiritual exercises, is the following. That Jesus Christ on Good Friday Jesus Christ on Good Friday. He willingly, wasn't taken by surprise, he willingly accepted to go through his passion, his suffering, his agony, his torments, his crucifixion, his death for love of you and for me. So my friends, when we talk about Easter, we cannot separate Easter from the total reality of what's called the Paschal Mystery. The Paschal Mystery is the passion, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The passion, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So really, to understand the resurrection, we cannot skip over the reality of Good Friday. Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen says, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. Not true. Without Good Friday, there is no Easter Sunday. Without Good Friday, there is no Easter Sunday. So Jesus' suffering on the cross, he suffered so much. Why did he suffer so much? Theologically, Jesus Christ is the Son of God made man. Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God made man, he could have saved all of humanity by picking up a splinter from the floor, or making just one small gesture. Because any action of Christ is called a theandric action, an action of God and man. Any action of Christ has infinite value. That's right. Any action of Christ has infinite value. Any action of Christ has infinite value. Infinite value. Infinite value. Why? Why did he suffer sweating blood? Why did he suffer being scourged at the pillar? Why did he suffer being crowned with thorns? Why did he suffer falling under the weight of the cross more than once? Why did he suffer the nails in his hands and the feet? Why did he suffer the agony of hanging on the cross, barely at the end able to even breathe? Why? 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 To show us, my friends, the gravity of sin, so true. To show us the gravity of sin, but also to show us the enormity of his love. That's right. The magnitude, the enormity of the love of Christ. In St. Ignatius, the saints will highlight this fact. He died. He died on the cross for love of you and for love of me. And he rose from the dead for love of you and for love of me. For love of you and for love of me. For love of you and for love of me. That's why he died and he rose from the dead. That's why when we contemplate Jesus on the cross, which we did on Good Friday, and we should even do today, but we know that beyond the cross is the glory of the resurrection. So you always try to call to mind that everything that he suffered in his passion, he suffered for love of you and for love of me. For love of you and for love of me. How great is God's love. In the diary of St. Faustina Kowalska, we read that how can we measure love? How do we know someone loves us? Well, we know someone loves us. We know someone loves us in as much as that person is willing to suffer for us. We know that someone loves us in as much as someone is willing to suffer for us. For that reason, we know that our mothers and our fathers love us because they have been willing to suffer for us physically, mentally, economically. How true. So we look at the cross on Good Friday. We're keenly aware of the fact that Jesus suffered everything, his excruciating pains, because he loves you so much that he died for you to open up the gates of heaven for you. I'm trying, my friends, to make the connection between the Paschal mystery of the passion, death of Christ, and the resurrection. When you look at our Lord's arms, his arms are open on the cross. It's symbolic of the gates of heaven being opened on Easter Sunday. That's right. The fact that Christ's arms are open is symbolic of the fact that he's opening up the gates. He's opening up the gates to heaven for us. He's opening up the gates of heaven for all of us. So, my friends, Christ hangs on the cross about 3 hours. From the cross, our Lord pronounces his last and greatest of all sermons, which we've invited many to meditate and try to memorize the last words of Christ on the cross. The last words of Christ on the cross. He spoke 7 last words. And as Fulton Sheen says, he ascends the pulpit of the cross and he gives his most eloquent sermon. What were the 7 last words? Well, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Then he said, "I thirst." Then he said those mysterious words which seemed to be an enigma for me. Those words would be, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Then he said, looking down upon the 3 that he loved most in the world at that time, he said the words to John and Mary. He said, "Woman," to his mother, "woman, Behold thy son. Then he said to the beloved disciple, Son, behold thy mother. From that moment, the beloved disciple took Mary into his home, into his heart. Jesus gave Mary to us as our universal mother. And in these days of the resurrection, we want to stay close to Mary. We want to stay very close to Mary as we contemplate Jesus risen from the dead. Then Jesus said to the good thief, the good thief turns to Jesus and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, he said to him, Amen, amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And Fulton Sheen says he died a thief because he stole heaven. And then Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And the last word of Jesus is, it is finished. And he breathed forth his spirit. The clouds darken. There was thunder and lightning. And the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. The old covenant, the Old Testament is over, and we usher in the new covenant with Jesus Christ. So Jesus dies, the legs of the thieves are broken. And then the soldier looking up at Jesus, who has already died, he thrusts the lance into the side and heart of Jesus, and blood and water came gushing forth. Blood and water came gushing forth. And as the saints point out, the church is born from the open side of Christ. The blood and water symbolizing the sacramental life of the church. Water symbolizing both baptism and baptism and confession. And the red symbolic of the Eucharist. And Jesus is taken down from the cross. He's taken down from the cross and he's gently placed in the arms of his mother. That's right. The piteous scene that we see in the film of Mel Gibson and the Pietà of Michelangelo becomes a reality. Jesus in the arms of his Blessed Mother. Contemplate that. Then two of the friends of Jesus provide for his burial. Provide for his burial. These two friends were Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. So Joseph of Arimathea was a man who was wealthy. He had his own sepulcher not too far from Calvary. Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pontius Pilate and requests that Pontius Pilate give him the body of Jesus. And Pontius Pilate accedes to the request. So try to imagine them taking the nails out of the hands of Jesus. Taking the nails out of his feet. Lowering him into the arms of Mary. Then after he's been in the arms of Mary, then they take the body of Christ very gently And they proceed in procession. Jesus is wrapped in a linen cloth. They proceed in procession to the sepulcher, the tomb that was owned by Joseph of Arimathea. It was never used yet. Jesus would be buried in that tomb. Another friend of Jesus appears on the scene. His name is Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes and brings aromatic perfume that would be used to anoint the body of Christ. About 100 pounds. That's a lot. To anoint the body of Christ. Then very gently, wrapped in a linen cloth, the body of Jesus is placed in the tomb. And it was like a cave. And the huge stone is rolled to cover the tomb. All of that, my friends, is what happened after the death of Christ. Now, Holy Saturday My friends, Holy Saturday is a day in which we unite ourselves with the Blessed Mother. Spanish, we call it La Soledad de María. What we do that day is we try to rewind the film. Of what happened to Christ on Good Friday. We try to rewind that film. And we relive that film. How is it done? We rewind the film, we relive the film, and it's done specifically with the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's right. Specifically with the Blessed Virgin Mary. So to summarize the whole spiritual milieu or context or meaning of Holy Saturday can best be summarized in trying to relive the passion of Christ gently but fervently through the eyes and the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's right, through the eyes and heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Okay, so we arrive at today. We've been building up to what we're going to be talking about now. But I think to understand Easter, we have to understand this whole overall context that I've been explaining these past 45, 50 minutes. Is that Jesus was buried. So they say he rose on the third day. Chronologically, the third day it would be Good Friday, the evening hour, all of Saturday, and then early Easter Sunday. The saints will say our Lord was in a hurry to get out of the tomb because he wanted to manifest himself to his mother and to his friends. So when we say 3 days, it would not be chronologically 24 hours. A full day in parts of 2 other days. So, Easter Sunday, Jesus rises from the dead. This is the key event in the life of Christ and the key event in our lives. Now, who did he appear to? Who did Jesus appear to? Well, the gospel today we have from John chapter 20, verse 1 to 9. where Jesus appears to Saint Mary Magdalene and the other holy women. So that's the gospel for today. Jesus appears to Saint Mary Magdalene, who very early went to the tomb, not knowing what to expect. However, this has to be said. This has to be said. And if you have gone through the spiritual exercises with me or with another director, as we celebrate the Solemnity of Solemnities, Easter, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead, begging for immense joy, the first of the meditations or contemplations that St. Ignatius gives us to carry out would be, we beg for the grace to contemplate Jesus' first appearance. So the gospel today is Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene, who doesn't even recognize who he is. And the appearance of the angels. But the Catholic Church has maintained this wonderful tradition. This wonderful tradition is that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, the first person that he appeared to was his Blessed Mother. That's right. Non-Catholics would say, we don't believe in that because it's not in the Bible, but we believe that it happened. This has been Catholic tradition for hundreds of years. Indeed, Mary was really the only one, she was the only one who did not doubt. The others doubted. The others fell into doubt and confusion. Not so with Mary. Mary, who stood at the foot of the cross those 3 hours, seeing her son suffer so much, she was the one that really believed that Christ died, but he would rise from the dead. So Mary's intense sorrow, which she experienced. St. Alphonsus of Liguria says that Mary is martyr. She's the queen of martyrs. Because what Jesus suffered in his body, Mary suffered in the depths of her soul. That's right. What Jesus suffered in his body, Mary suffered in the very depths of her soul. So, the first appearance of the risen Lord Jesus was to his Blessed Mother. How, where, when the conversation, we don't know exactly. But all of us are called to try to compose our own contemplation of Jesus appearing to his Blessed Mother and the overflowing joy that Mary would have experienced. This overflowing joy that Mary would have experienced in encountering her son who truly rose from the dead. So it's up to us to utilize our own imagination. trying to imagine how, where, when the conversation of this wonderful, wonderful encounter that Jesus truly, truly rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Imagine that wonderful encounter between Jesus and his mother. So Mary's sorrow was as deep as the sea. But her joy was immense also. So as you enter into this wonderful Easter season, which these next 8 days we're celebrating Easter, up until next Sunday, which is Divine Mercy Sunday. I invite all of you to make the Divine Mercy Novena. Today would be the third day. And prepare yourself also for Mercy Sunday. These days are days filled with immense joy as well as immense blessings. So my hope, my prayer, my desire for all of you is a very holy, happy, joyful Easter. For you and your loved ones, a holy, happy, joyful Easter. As we'll be saying during the course of this week, this is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of Mary, Most Holy, and God's angels and saints, may God bless you this Easter day and this Easter season with great joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.